Thank my pastor for the will of God to be carried out to administer today. And it's good to be back from family reunion. And had a wonderful time. And glad to be back. As Pastor said many times before, you want a vacation, but your mind is still back home. So I was thinking about you guys the whole time I was gone. And so we finally back. We're going to, before I minister today, I want to introduce my grandkids back there. As you know, the two, but the two are from Atlanta. My little, the one in the white, Gabby, and my little grandson, my first grandson. So he's a handful. Quite a handful. From the book of the second epistle to Timothy, I'd like for who's reading today? Deacon Gavin to read the first chapter of the book of Timothy, second Timothy chapter 1.
Second Timothy, beginning the first chapter, the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day, night, and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto the gospel whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, which dwelt that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
The Second Timothy chapter 1 is a pastoral epistle to his son in the ministry, Timothy, written shortly before his martyrdom, as relayed in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This epistle deals with the true walk of the saint in the day of apostasy. It is our testimony to a sin-sick world that our Savior is Jesus Christ. Referencing in 2 Timothy 1 and 15, no matter what goes on in this life, no matter how many things that come against us, we are the body of Christ and have been called for such. I'll deal with that a little bit later about the Asian churches there. But first of all, we want to go to the verse there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And it wasn't of men. Paul was called for a specific purpose. Paul was not one of the 12. He was different. He was called by the will of God for a specific purpose. And we need to know that the apostle is a calling of God. A lot of times today we see people put titles on their names, but in those days when a person was called for a specific task, it was given to them by God. Paul was called specifically. Now, what do we mean when somebody is an apostle? The word apostle means one that is sent. And if you have the kingdom apostles or any apostles, first of all, they must have witnessed the works of Jesus Christ, witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, or have a calling as Paul did, where he was revealed by Christ himself what his ministry was to be. And then the apostle has the right to set forth doctrine is given to him by God for that dispensation that he's dealing with. Peter, James, and John knew nothing of grace, so they couldn't give instrumentation of the grace of God because it wasn't given to them. They were kingdom apostles. And Paul, as I stated earlier, was a different apostle. He was a grace apostle. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 1, there, he says there, verses 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. So the kingdom apostles dealt with the nation of Israel. That's who they came to witness to. That was their ministry. It was not to the Gentiles, as Dean Gavin stated 2 weeks ago. It was to the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they witnessed to them and gave them the ministry that was dealt with them, was dealt with the message from the kingdom apostles. And also, that message was laced with signs, wonders, and miracles, because the Jews require a sign. When the angel appeared to Mary, Mary didn't get like it would have been if it appeared to me, because they had a litany of generations where it had been signs and wonders and wonders, and this is what the Jews had come to acknowledge. Signs, wonders, and miracles. The Apostle Paul is different. It is the interface or built around the grace concept, and it is spiritual blessings that he's given the church, the body of Christ. Adoption, sanctification, glorification, reconciliation, justification, imputation, the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of man, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what the grace message is about. It's all about intangible things. With Israel, he was dealing with what you could see, feel, touch, hear, or smell. But he takes us to a higher level. It's something that you can't touch justification. You can't smell imputation. You can't understand the adoption that he's given us through physical. I mean, this is a spiritual thing. It's far above what was given. The kingdom message is for people who are sensual. And that by that, I mean they are going by sensual things that will draw them to Christ. Ours is a different message. Our message does not go by that. There is not one piece of real estate promised to the Grace Church. We're in the body of Christ. We're not in here looking to try to all of these things where they're taken out of context and use the synoptic gospels and apply it to the Grace Church. That is not our calling. That is not our ministry. He's set you farther above, farther away from the things of this world. And we'll get into that more as we move on. In verse 4 there, he tells the apostle, he tells Timothy that he greatly desires to see him. Why? Well, because Timothy was his son in the ministry. And Timothy had been brought up from a Hebrew slant. And he had taken the time to give him the things that are pertinent to the grace gospel so that Timothy wouldn't put a Hebrew slant in the grace message. You see, if we have to stay in our calling, stay what has been given to us. And Paul had given his ministry, many, many things to Timothy, and he wanted Timothy to stay on track. And Timothy, of course, he had unfeigned faith. He was a person that loved the Lord. It wasn't phony. He really loved the Lord. And that's what Paul wants him to stay in that line, stay within the boundaries there, so that what I have given to you, Timothy, you give to other men who are faithful like you are. Would to God that we had that kind of message today, where we go by the grace message and not try to mix it with kingdom and try to bring other things in. As Pastor said earlier, if you go to Deuteronomy, you're teaching law. If you go to Matthew, you're teaching kingdom message, kingdom law. But ours is a grace message. And he wants us to be, so he says here, that he remembered from his grandmother and his mother. But I was looking at that as I was preparing the message. And thank God for grandmothers and mothers that the Lord has placed in our path. It's only by the grace of God that He does that. It's only by His grace. Everything has been taken care of in eternity. But I just thank the Lord for placing in my family, on my mother's side and my father's side, godly people that steered me in the right direction. My grandmother on my mother's side, as I've said many times before, Ada Prowell used to sit me down, Deacon, and she would read the Bible to me every night. And I just loved to hear her read to me. It would bring tears in my eyes. And she didn't hardly have much education, but she really did love to teach me the Bible. And she kept telling my mother, that boy's going to be a preacher one day. You are, that was determined by God. But it was wonderful. Amen. And my mom always made it a point to get me to church. Mm-hmm. And my mom, as my wife will tell you, she really loved the Lord. So I was really blessed by having it. And I want to instill that into my kids and my great-grandkids and my grandkids. And so I didn't let them miss church. I took them to church. I wanted them to be in church. And they had a good formal background in the church. And then, so I was happy about that, and I wanted to do the same thing. So in verse 8, we see here that he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me. Timothy, don't be a milquetoast. Don't be a namby-pamby. Be somebody who has a backbone for the ministry. Don't let people run over you and give you all kinds of false doctrine, questions and things like that. Doesn't really add up. What you do is you be strong in the word. He wants him to be a good soldier. And what we really need to recognize is the fact that we who are in the body of Christ have been put there by God. And this is not something that we should take lightly. We are in a battle, and the Lord has called us and saved us. Yes, but we have to recognize that we are in a battle. And I want Deke to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And I want you to read that for me, Deke. King James.
We're reading from 1 Timothy, the second chapter.
Sorry, 3.
Verse 3, King James Version. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Okay, now, first of all, we have to recognize that we have an enemy. This enemy is your enemy, and he cannot take your salvation, but he can ruin your testimony. And we have to keep that in mind. So what we have to think about is that we were called and saved. When we think about, you see, he says here, don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life are stumbling blocks that come in our path as testimony decreed by God in eternity in our lives. And what we have to do is fight the good fight of faith. We have to always be vigilant of the fact that the devil is like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he can devour. Not your salvation, but your testimony. And we have to be encouraged to know that God has put us here for a purpose. That people that are around us can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And what you look at here is that you have to remember that, well, why? Why were you chosen? Well, you were chosen because God planned it that way. That's why he did it. Didn't plan. He did it that way. And that was actualized in eternity, that you would be a soldier of the living Lord. Well, let's take a look why. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4.
Reading from 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds.
Verse 5 also.
Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That knowledge of God is that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But what we got to remember is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible lets us know that we don't fight this with spirit, with weapons that we can see, feel, touch, hear, smell. We got the answer for that. And let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3.
Romans the 12th chapter, beginning verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And being not conformed to this world, but being ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, now let's take it. Let's take this, and let's get see here. Take a look. First of all, you've got to recognize that you are a soldier in the Lord's army, and the weapons that are formed against us are not carnal, but he deals with those on a spiritual basis. And so, what you have to remember is that look what he says here. He says what? And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. You've got to realize the fact that you are in a fight for the control of your mind. And what you're dealing with here is you're dealing with an enemy that comes at you with things on that put things in your mind. And if he gets your mind, he's got you. If he gets his mind where you're thinking about this instead of the Word of God, he's got you. You've got to remember that you are here for a specific purpose. And it's not to be a pawn of the devil or to be in a situation where you do what the world does. The world should be following you, not you following the world. You should have a backbone about yourself that people can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I tell the boys at the youth home, you're here because your mind has been conformed to this world. And what you need is a transformation. You need a transformation that your mind is on Christ and not this world. This world, as it is a depraved,
wicked, sinful world. You don't need anything to show you, to influence you on this. All you have to do is look around you. Just look at the things that are on TV. Listen to the things that are on railroad, on the radio. And all of the things here point to a wicked, sinful world. There's nothing in this world that you need to embrace. This world is evil, wicked, maniacal, and everything else. There is nothing good about this world for you to embrace for your personal body, for your edification in Jesus Christ. Everything here is wicked. And in the time capsule, as long as we're here, you're going to have the depravity of man that shows you and tell you about all the things that you don't need, but you're going to see them all of the time. So he says, transform yourself. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What's your mind? What somebody's got control of your mind? They got you. They got you. And you can be filled and come to church every Sunday and do all of that, and he can still have control of your mind. Well, what's the remedy for that? The Bible says in John, John 15:3, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. If we put more emphasis on the word of God, instead of the things going on this planet here, we would be much farther ahead. Paul says, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. This earth is going to be Michael Jackson this week, Ryan Seacrest the next week, and all of these crazy things. It's the dumbest thing you ever seen. And we sit up there like Christians and look at this mess over and over. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, tells us in the word here in John, Psalms 119, verse 9 and 11, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We got time for everything else but the Word of God. We got all kinds of Bible classes and everything, and people need to get their priorities in order. If you are a soldier for the Lord, then you ought to be doing the things of the Lord, and that is giving time to the Lord in study, prayer, and supplication. That's what it's about. Everything in this world is going to die out. Everything. There is nothing here that is going to be here matter of fact, it's going to be a new heaven and new earth. Everything's got to go. Everything's got to go. Because it's laced in depravity. It can't stand here. New heavens and new earth. Everything's got to go. And we sit out spending our time on all of this mess. And we just look at it. And, honey, did you hear this? And then you got the nerve to call folks on the phone about it. What this world, don't be surprised what these people do in the world. Why are you spending your time looking at what 2 days of Michael Jackson is enough? Not 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 10 years. It's crazy. It just goes on and on and on. It's just like a bump in the road. Every time I look at the stuff that we see, I think about being on the farm with my granddad, Granville Nicholson, and all of those people that helped me to grow up. And proverb is told about a man, some of y'all might know what I'm talking about here, about farm, but y'all city folks tell them about it. But the proverb is told about a man who had a mule, and he had a lot of crops that had to be planted. Well, the mule had worked hard the day before. Anybody know anything about a mule is that when that mule sees his shadow, he's going in. You can talk all you want to about come back here and haul you and all that. When he sees his shadow, he's going in. He's not working anymore. So what happened was the farmer came out and he had another 5 more acres to plow, but The mule didn't want to go out because the mule was still tired. He had done a lot the day before. So what he did was he took his grandson out there, and the mule just still would not act right. So what he did was he got aboard and came back, and he hit the mule upside the head, and the mule fell down on his knees. And the grandson was in shock. How could you hit the mule in the head? Grandfather said to him, I had to get his attention. You don't hear me. That's why Wall Street is falling down. That's why America's falling down. He's got to get your attention. There is nothing in this world here in America. It's all built on a house of cards. And we're putting faith in the cards instead of God. What are we going to get in our heads that these things don't dissatisfy us? We got a Mercedes-Benz and a Bentley and all that crazy mess. That mess is just mess. That's all it is. And you're going to die and leave it all. You're putting emphasis on the things of this world, and God's got to get your attention. You came here with nothing. You're leaving with nothing. And I think that's fair. Hello? That's fair. Now, God didn't say if you're going to come here and I'm going to give you $10,000 or $1 million to take back with you. He said, you came with nothing, Deke. You're leaving with nothing, Pastor. You're leaving with nothing. You come here with nothing, you're leaving with nothing. And we don't want to hear that. Because we want to hear about what we got, tell you about what we got. You got nothing. If you got Jesus Christ, you got everything. You don't need anything else but Christ. That's what you need. That's all you need. So we have to take a look. So he gets so back in verse 9, he says, who has saved us? That's aorist tense. Who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, what? But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world or the times, before the world began. Sounds like one word to me. What are you talking about, preacher? Election! How in the world can you say that God doesn't elect when he says, what? What does he say? Who has saved us, aorist tense? Oh, that's right. We don't pay attention, Brother Walter, to the aorist tense. He said, what? Who has saved us, called us, what? With a holy calling. With a holy calling. He didn't just call you out there and then just let you be out there drifting in space. He called you to be holy, and that's done by him. Amen? But according to his own purpose. That's his own purpose. He had a reason for calling me and saving me, and I don't know what it is. I'm just glad to be on the program. Amen? I don't have to be apostle. I don't have to be bishop. I don't have to be doctor. I can just be Lord in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. That's all I need. That's all I want. Don't have to give me those superficial titles. Don't mean nothing, Mother. That don't mean a thing. Bishop, doctor, apostle. You crazy. I don't need all that. Amen? So, it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He knew me, Elder Nicholson, William R. Nicholson. He called me. Well, first of all, I was lost and I was saved in what? One instant. There's no sequence with God. I was lost, he saved me, that's it. He had a purpose. I don't know what the purpose is, but one day I'll know. But I know one thing, I've got a glorified body waiting on me in heaven. And as I said to pastor's grandkids and their friends, Thursday night, we had a good time in Bible class. I said, it's going to happen so fast, it's going to be a millisecond. Whereas the Greek says it's atomic. You're not going to be flying out here in space. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is the only book in the world that can tell you where you came from, where you are now, and where you're going. It's the only one. In times past, he dealt with Israel. But now, he deals with us. And in the future, he's going to deal with us in his body, and the nation of Israel, he'll be on earth. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So he says in verse 10 that, but now what? Is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Yes, the manifestation came Deacon 1957. Because the Spirit of the Lord witnessed to my Lord that I was his child. But you know something? That wasn't when I was saved. And that wasn't when Christ did his work. It wasn't 2,000 years on the cross, 2,000 years ago. Oh, he did all his work. Deke, read Revelation 13:8, please. It's familiar to us, but like Pastor said, there are a lot of ministers in the country. And I'm glad this is going out on the internet. There's a lot of ministers in the country don't know about these things. A lot of people in the church don't know about it. You need to know. King James, go ahead.
Revelation 13, chapter 13, verse 8, King James Version. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
All of the work that was done in eternity. You don't have to add on to it or add nothing. What God has done, it was done in eternity. Now, I have three daughters, and all of you ones who have kids here, but when my wife was carrying any of my kids, they had what was called a DNA pattern. And every time when they came out, their DNA could match up with my wife or me. In other words, they had a heart, they had lungs, they had ankles, toes, and everything. They had a body. They had a body. And they had the things that they needed to survive on this planet and walk through this planet and go carry on in this planet and be a productive citizen. Would God do anything less than that? Well, let's take a look what he prepared you with when you came here. When you came, this is what the Lord had planned already done for you. He had adopted you. He had what? Sanctified you. And then what? He had glorified you. And he gave reconciliation to you, justification, and imputation, and to know that he is God who saved you, or the sovereign God. What he did was, everything that you needed in the spiritual life, he gave it to you. You can't add to it any other way. There's not any second thing about you going and speaking in tongues and getting saved. What kind of foolishness is that? When God saved you and brought you here, he had everything that you needed. There's nothing needed to be added to it. It's the dumbest thing I ever seen up there. That is crazy. The Bible says they spoke languages. All of that crazy. And yes, I'll say to any PAW or VAW, anything else. It's time somebody took a stand. It's the craziest thing ever. There's no second grace. If it's going to be a second grace, why can't it be a third grace or a fourth grace? It's quiet here. Everything that you needed, God gave to you. And he gave you, and what he's going to do, he gave you his righteousness, and throughout all eternity, you're going to be learning. He's going to give you his righteousness. Where he gets right there. He's giving it to you now, but he's going to give you his nature. That's why this old man has got to go. This old man's got to go. This old man that we see here is our body. As I was telling them in Thursday's class, you got a world conscious what the people see. That's what people see. I see Sister Harris from a world point of view, but that's not Sister Harris I'm looking at. The Bible says in First Thessalonians 5:23 that we are spirit, soul, and body. That spirit man on the inside, that's the man that we should be concerned about. That's the man who God is dealing with. Everything on the outside, he's got to go. There's nothing worth keeping. And in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, it tells you, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This has got to be destroyed. Well, why are you being so hard, Elder? Well, let's take a listen. Don't go by what I say. Go to the book of Corinthians. And I'm going to have him read this from the millennial. The King James Version lightens it up a little bit. But look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1.
Second Corinthians 5, verse 1, interlinear Greek text. For we know that if the earthly of us, house of the tabernacle is destroyed, a building of God we have, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens.
Okay. Now, for you that just had a King James, it says that for we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved. If it's dissolved, it's going to be destroyed. This flesh can't go into heaven. Destroyed. And God knows I love my mother, my father, and my family. When I go to Lansing, I don't go. I'm not going to visit no cemetery. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to see nobody in the cemetery. My mother's not there. That's cold, Ella. No, that's right. Yes, for the miracle, for the things that she did for me, and all of those things, and all of the wonderful things my father did, they're not there. They're there. And I'm not going in the cemetery. Except when it's time for me to go. I just believe that. I'm not going out there for no Memorial Day, holiday, any kind of day. That's it. My wife passed. I'm not married anymore. When my folks died, they're not my parents anymore. Only here on earth. And I'm not going to, God knows I love my mother and father. But they're not there. They're there. And that's not going to do it. Man, Paul was a Pharisee whose course was, of course, to be an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, he says in verse 12, for the cause which I also suffer these things. Everybody want to be an apostle. Everybody want to be a bishop. But nobody want to suffer. What you talking about, preacher? Well, let's take a look at that. If Paul says, he says, so he suffer. Let's take a look over here and see what he's talking about. Go to 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter? Is that it? Let's see. Verse Yeah. 24? 23, read that, Deke.
Mm-hmm.
23? Yeah. And going down. Just keep going down, and I'll tell you when to stop.
1 Corinthians 11:23, King James Version. For I have received of the Lord.
I'm sorry, the 2 Corinthians. That's my mistake. Run on and working deep death up here. Just going to the wrong spots.
2 Corinthians.
Baptist preachers used to say, deep, charge to my head, not to my heart. Okay, go ahead.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in debts oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes.
This is the cost for being an apostle in the days, back in the days. Not driving a Bentley, staying in a $1 million house, and not all this naming and claiming garbage and all this other mess, and you got this and that, and your anniversary might give you $150,000, anything like that. Paul says what? He says what? 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes. I won't go into that. That's another message. I won't go into that today. But the fact of the matter is that what? He says 5 times. And this wasn't people where they just take a little. Now, we got some whippings back in those days, and I had to go get my own switches. And I better come back. Don't come back with nothing like that. You better come back with a limb of a tree. But the whippings that you got, the whippings that Paul got, a lot of times they would be laced with metal and objects and things like that, and they would beat you, and they would take the flesh out your body. Okay? And so Paul says, I went through that 5 times. Go ahead, Deke.
Thrice was I beaten with rods.
Okay. Big, long rods that snap when you hit them, when they hit you. Go ahead.
Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep.
Go ahead.
In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Amen. So Paul's whole life was that. Now this is what an apostle went through. It is different today. It's different today. People call themselves an apostle, but in those days, if you were an apostle, it meant that you were going to die. One thing about all this easy stuff that they got now, and Paul let you know that he was fasting, and that wasn't because he was fasting, because he didn't have any money, he didn't have food. He was literally at the brink of starvation many times. And he earned his living. He was a tent maker. Everything he did, because he didn't want to be a burden on the churches. But then, what the Apostle Paul said, he let you know that he said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice in the Lord. All the things he went through, everything, he still was rejoicing in the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through in this life, and you're going to go through a lot of things. You need to remember that you ought to be thankful that you have Jesus Christ, who has called you, saved you, sanctified you, and put you in his body. That's what you need to be thankful about, because everything else is going to fail. You can't put one ounce of faith in anything on this earth. Your jobs will go. Your health will go. Your education is going to go. Everything on this earth is in the time capsule. It's not meant to be perfect. It is not meant to last. Everything here is temporary. And we don't think God has an agenda. But the agenda that God has put you in on this course that you're going through, that's what you're supposed to go through. Well, you said, preacher, that is awfully cruel of God and to do something like that. But can the pot say something to the potter? What God has ordained for you to go through is different than what He's ordained for pastor to go through or for me to go through. But whatever you go through, you ought to be thankful that you're in the body of Christ. Because it could be a lot worse. And then he tells you in Corinthians, that it's 1 Corinthians or 2nd, he says all these things that we're going through is just for a moment. But we got to look beyond that. And look what? We got to set our affection on things above and look at the, and I like what Deke said, what is the purpose for this happening for me? That's what I look at now. What is the purpose when I go through things? What is the purpose that God is trying to show me that I'm going through in this frail life that I'm going through? He says here, verse 13, he says, hold fast to the words you've heard from me. Verse 13, back here in Timothy there, he says what? Hold fast to the form of sound words. For this dispensation. You cannot really understand this Bible unless you write it about the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself an approved workman for God. And the Greek says, cutting it straight. You have to cut the Word of God straight. What was given to Moses was not given to you. What was given to Abraham, and well, let's say that's law, but what was given to the kingdom message was not for you. We're in the grace dispensation. That is not for you in the kingdom. And we have to remember that the kingdom message is a different message. It deals with Israel. That's who it's dealing with. And when the rapture come, or the snatching or catching away come, and take us out of this world, we're going to leave here. And that's going to leave. And then he's dealing right now with the church. And the kingdom message has been, or the kingdom has put on hold. God's not finished with Israel. But what he's going to do is, he's going to take us out of this world. Then he's going to put his direction back on Israel. And then he's going to deal with them. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, he's going to take us out, and then he's going to deal with them, and there's going to be a different message even preached. It's the message of the everlasting gospel. That's the kingdom message with a new name. Preparing the people that are left on earth. This is a precept for you going into the kingdom. And that will be Gentiles saved, but that's not the church. Those are people that are saved, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, those that came out of the tribulation. Well, we'll be gone long before that. And then what happens is that everything is tied up and finished up, and you're going to have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I'm cutting through a lot of things now. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. And it's going to be all these Republicans and all of them. Well, we want our liberty. We want democracy. Well, I got news for you. Republican, Democrat, anybody else. There will be no democracy in the kingdom. It's going to be a theocracy. And he's going to rule with an iron hand. Because depravity is going to be present. And so he's not going to take off. Well, you want your, it's just, we're our rights. You won't have any rights. It's going to be the rights that's given to you by Christ. So you can talk all that you want to about democracy and all that Marxy all you want to. The only Marxy is going to be, is going to be theocracy. I wish I had somebody praying with me. As I come to a close, verse 14, that good thing was committed to me, keep by the Holy Ghost that which indwelleth in us. What was committed to you as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Amen. It does not dwell in the world. It does not dwell in anybody else. It dwells in you, the ones he has called from the foundation of the world. That's the one who it deals with. And I like here, as I come to a close, that even though the Apostle Paul had a lot of things going on in Asia there, and Phygelius and Hermogenes, they had themselves was like a little rebellion, and they were causing a stir. And what they were doing was they called themselves Christian, but they didn't want to follow the doctrines of the Christian faith. And what happened was that he lets them know that he says he had some problems there. But I thank God for, in verse 16, Onesimus, he said that he often refreshed me. And he was what? He was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Let me tell you something, saints. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. There are going to be times in your life when everybody look like they have turned their back on you and everything, and people don't care nothing about you. But as the old Baptist preacher used to say, God's always got a ram in the bush. Amen. This man, what Paul was going through, he often refreshed him. He wasn't ashamed of him. And Paul anybody can get depressed or anything like that, but God sent somebody there to give him some encouragement, to exhort him to go on, to be there and to not be ashamed of him, to be proud that he knew the Apostle Paul. God will send people in your life like that. And I'm sure that Pastor can tell you, people have come into his life, but they were sent there by God. He didn't request. God sent them. God knows what you need, when you need it, and he's always on time. God doesn't have to worry. You don't have to worry about God. He is faithful to us, and he's going to take care of us. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, read that for me. Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 6. Beginning at verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
Amen.
Which ye have shewed toward his name.
Amen.
In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Amen. I'm going to end now, but I want to leave a story with you before I leave. I taught with Reverend Allen Christian evangelism for 19 years. First, we were over there on Grand River at Reverend Allen's church, his father's church. And I never will forget one night that I came out. That's when I was in business with myself, and I was on a shortage of funds, and I didn't have any money. But what happened was I got in my car, and Sister Harris, I ride more on fumes than I was on gas. But I got in my car and I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it home. I didn't know. So I had to went right by Broad Street. And not, you know, Broad Street's got two sections. Got one section down there where the crack houses is, and others where they got the big houses. And I didn't know if I was going to make it. This is the truth. And I came down, I was driving very slow. I said, maybe if I just take it easy, maybe I won't burn so much gas, and maybe I can make it to a station. That needle kept going down and down. And Pastor, I said, this is time for my faith to kick in. So as I was going down the street, I was going east. No, I was going north on Broad Street. And what happened was I saw this Church of Christ church. And the Church of Christ church was over here. And those crack house with a lot of people out there just getting high and everything. And I stopped my car. The Lord had me stop my car. And I got out and I said, well, something's got to happen here. I went over to the Church of Christ, and the man was sitting up there. He was a janitor taking care of the church, and he was there all night because he worked all night. And so I knocked on the door, and I came in. This is the truth. This is the truth. I told my wife this. She thought I was crazy. But I said to him, I put my head down, and I said, sir, I need your help. I said, I just came from teaching a Bible class down there. And I said, I don't have any money to get me some gas. I said, I got a little bit of money, but I got to get me some gas. And my car is right out there. And so he said, well, he said, how can I help you? I said, could you let me use your car to go up here and get some gas for my car so that I can get my, so I don't want to run out of gas. So he says, that's not a problem. He went in his pocket and got his keys and let me have the keys to his car to go up there to get gas for my car. He had never seen me before in his life. He had never seen me before, and I haven't seen him since. But God had somebody there at the time to help me because he is always faithful. Whenever you think everything is gone, he was there. And I brought the went up in, I brought it back and gave him. And he said to me, he said, anything else I can do for you, young man? He had never seen me before in his life. And I was crackhead, all people all over there. And he let me use his car to go get some gas. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me what God won't do. Because if I'm God's child, and he's with what? He will never, what? He'll never forsake me or leave me. I'll never forget that as long as I live. When you're going down and you get things get rough and tough, God's always there. He does not leave you nor forsake you. And I talk about the Church of Christ and everything, you know I do. But that night, that man made me a lot of words. Amen? He took me and let me go. He didn't even take me. He gave me the keys to his car. I said, go on, take it. God's got some sheep everywhere. God's got some people in the body of Christ everywhere. So it doesn't matter. And I thank God for the pastor for letting me speak today. And God bless you.
Let's say amen.